You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's another stellar edition of The Drive, getting fired up this afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. Russell, Bear, and Trey back with you live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. Trey, you have no idea how long I've been wanting to say that. Feels good.
Yeah, dude. It's exciting to actually see civilization.
Back here at Old Ben Franklin Motors, it's a beautiful day. Catering from Jet's Pizza. I was over there earlier today. I got to see Angie and the crew. They're doing well. And yeah, man, it's good to be back out. I think I cannot remember. Do you remember what our last live show was? Was it here?
I think it was National RX.
Was it? Oh, it was National RX. That's right. Okay. We need to get back out there too.
Yeah.
All right. So we are live this afternoon, 9711 Kingston Pike, right across from Franklin Square in the Chop House. You know where it is. And a lot of you came into, you know, a little extra look, De Niro, a month or so ago when the stimulus checks got mailed out. And a lot of you need cars. And, of course, Old Ben Franklin Motors has a great selection of used vehicles here. We've got your trucks. We've got your SUVs, your vans, your sedans, everything in between. They've also got brand new Mitsubishis here. And I'll tell you about the Outlanders, the Outlander Sport. I really like those cars. But I'm going to tell you about these Mirages. Have you seen some of those Mitsubishi Mirages, brand new cars out there? And I'm talking about the mileage these things get. Insane. It's insane. 41 miles roughly to the gallon. I was talking to a lady here who bought one, and she said that it costs like $10 to fill up the tank, and then she's driving to and from Kentucky. She never fills up. It's incredible. Now, here's where it gets good, as if that wasn't good enough. $4,500 rebates for the new Mitsubishi Mirage right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike. It comes with a 100,000-mile warranty. And with that rebate, you can get brand new Mitsubishi, brand new car.
What?
With the new car smell and everything. $11,000 for a new car? Are you kidding me? I want to kid you about this, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine being able to buy a new car for roughly $179 a month, less than $200 a month.
Not
for
this economy. That's awesome.
A new car, not like a new wish car, a new car down here. It's happening right here, right now. Old Ben Franklin Motors. Check them out, oldbenfranklinmotors.com. And you can get the phone number there. Call down there. They'll hook you up with a sales associate, and they'll give you the run through. The walkthrough down here, and you come down and take a test drive for free as well at Old Ben Franklin Motors. We'll be here till 6 p.m. if you want to come out and say hello. It's the first time they've let us out of our cage here in a couple of weeks, so we're good to be.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm fired up, man. It feels good. Bear, how are you this afternoon, my friend? I can hear you in the background lurking.
How can you hear me? I've been on mute, man.
Oh, you sound fantastic.
You feel my presence?
Sense of disturbance of the force, yes.
Absolutely. I'm doing good. Got a little sunshine going on here.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to rain all week. The weather is fantastic. We're at Old Ben Franklin Motors. The college football, are they, will they, how will they play debate seems to be as the news on that front seems as good as it has been in a long time. I'm starting to hear a lot of promising reports this afternoon. I guess the big news here locally today is Knox County announces today that they're going to be easing more restrictions and moving ahead to, I guess, phase two of the reopening deal on bars, pools, libraries. They're going to be moving that up to May 26th, which I believe is a week from yesterday.
I think,
what
it's
is today?
Tuesday.
What is today?
Today after Memorial Day. Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So a week from yesterday, they're going to be opening things up because I guess they're doing well. Knox County Health Department Director Dr. Martha Buchanan said that they're going to move on to phase two of the reopening plan 3 days ahead of schedule, decision based on data and community feedback. Phase two, she said it's critical that the public continue to practice safe social distancing, wear a face mask, frequent hand washing, cleansing, disinfecting. You know the drill. So they're going to be moving ahead. So far, so good. I see where a couple of college football programs, Ohio State is saying they, you know, it looks like we're going to be able to
do it have, for studies.
Yeah, 20,000-30,000 people in their stadium up there. Their stadium is roughly the same size as Neyland, 100,000. So that kind of gives you a thing. Here's my completely non-expert opinion on crowds in the stadiums. Just a month ago, there were a lot of people who were saying we weren't going to have football at all. And then after that, it was like, well, we might have a little bit of football,
yeah,
conference only. Then it was, well, we might start late. Now they're saying we might start early. So all I'm saying is the goalposts are constantly moving forward, backward, and in between. So I'm not ruling out having more than, you know, 20 or 30% of the stadium full, whatever it is. I'm not even ruling out having the full stadium capacity.
Stop done. It.
I'm not. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying I'm not ruling it out.
Okay.
Because things have...
You're not ruling what out?
Having...
What are you not ruling out here?
Having full stadium.
Neyland Stadium full? You're not ruling that out?
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying I'm not ruling it out.
Wow.
I mean,
you've been hitting the bottle today?
I mean,
he's sober.
I'm just watching. I'm monitoring the data and seeing where we're at and what's happening and how things have changed so much in just a couple of weeks and opinions that I'm saying I'm not ruling it out. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying,
I think I know where you're going. We got the 20 that, you know, we got the no fans a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at 20 to 30, maybe at Ohio State.
Yeah. Well, and even before that, we were probably not going to happen. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit, no way we're going to play football this year. Not going to happen. And
dun, dun, dun.
Clearly it is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I mean, who knows, man? I mean, there's a lot of time between now and September.
Clearly students are going to be back on campus, you know, a week after Memorial Day.
UT has announced some changes, what are they calling it? Best practices for returning to campus. I like that. I mean, that sounds, the guy who came up with best practices was right there, the guy who came up with social distancing.
Very professional.
Yes. UT COVID-19 Task Force releasing a report today on best practices for opening up campus in the fall. Some of the recommendations are require, you know, student life, shared spaces like dormitories and dining halls could be reimagined to follow CDC recommendations. Classes may be reimagined as well. Hybrid mode of learning that includes online options. What an age we live in. I remember when I went to college in like 98, it was like we were just getting email and like half the people didn't, you had it, but you didn't really check it. It was weird, man. They were saying like, oh yeah, you can do all this stuff online. And like nobody did it. And now.
Could you have really done it online? I guess you could have.
Well, not like now with the Zoom classes and everything, but they would, I don't know. There was stuff that you could do, I'm told, online that we never really messed with it. Anyway.
Sign up for an AOL account.
Yeah. So, a lot going on here this afternoon, a lot of positive momentum in the sports world. I think it's interesting, this conversation people are having about moving the start of school up. Notre Dame has basically said this, and South Carolina, I believe, is doing something similar where they're like, we're going to start earlier and hope that we can get done by Thanksgiving. Usually you have fall break around Thanksgiving, and then the students come back for a couple of weeks, final exams, and then they have a two-week break in between semesters, roughly. Some of these schools, Notre Dame is basically saying, we're going to be done at fall break, Thanksgiving. Students are not going to come back, and then you're going to have basically a six-week winter break.
Trying to get them ready by August 10th. But you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the Florida and the Miami student-athletes last year. Remember, their game was pushed up a week to August 21st, so they actually had to report
Why did they do that?
Television.
That's right.
So they had a report actually at the towards the end of July to campus. So there's precedent. I'm just interested to see how much leeway they give these universities and especially student athletes, because a lot has to be done between now and then. But I think we're starting to hit that point where, okay, we know it's probably going to happen. Now we have to wonder, is there going to be anybody there to watch the games? That part would be interesting.
It certainly will. My thing with the moving it up is, doesn't that, if you're worried about students and faculty going home over fall break, getting infected with COVID and then coming back and spreading it around a college campus, aren't you just kind of putting that off until the winter semester? Because now, instead of having a 4-day break, you're going to have a 6-week break where kids can go home and hang out with their high school buddies and do whatever it is you do during winter break. And then you come back for the spring semester in January, and it's going to be the same deal, right?
I'll throw another one at you. Are they going to allow fans from opposing teams to travel to away games? I don't see them letting Florida fans come to Neyland. I don't see them letting Alabama fans come from Tuscaloosa. By the way, there's some news out of there today. I don't know if Oklahoma's going to allow Tennessee fans to travel, because you're bringing it from different states now. Like, that's the thing I look at now. It's like, I don't think there'd be any away game travels this year when it comes to fans. I think that's done.
Oh, I won't miss having a bunch of Florida and Alabama fans in Knoxville this fall. But I'm sure there are a lot of Tennessee fans that were looking forward to making a trip to Norman, Oklahoma at the beginning of the year. You and I were talking, Trey, before the show started about, okay, if what Ohio State is proposing, 20 to 30% of the stadium occupied for ball games.
Yeah.
How do these universities go about deciding who gets in? What's the fair way to do that? If it's a limited number of people in attendance, how do you approach that one?
3,000 fans to the tickets to the general public. Rest of them go to boosters and band and students, players, families.
So not all season tickets require a donation. I'm wondering if the number, and I realize some schools with smaller stadiums going to be at a disadvantage, but I'm wondering if, Tennessee has lately been selling like 60,000 season tickets lately.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you could, everybody who gets the tickets and makes a donation, I'm wondering if you could give enough tickets to them. And then, like what you're saying, take maybe a handful, a couple thousand tickets left over and make them have some sort of lottery system for the general public. Because here's what they're worried about, Bear, is the scalpers, the yeah, secondary ticket market, as they call it, getting their hands on those tickets. And then, the demand is going to be so high, somebody is going to make a killing off of those if they're able to get their hands on them. Interesting.
I think legally, whoever gets assigned the tickets, you have to go to the game. If you don't show up, you don't show up. But I think legally wise, I think they're going to make fans sign a waiver if you're selected to go to the game. If you don't want to sign a waiver, you ain't going to the game. I think that's how that's going to work. I think that's how it's going to narrow that part down. I was talking with somebody last night, an attorney out of Florida. I was like, and we were talking about FSU for a minute. And we were like, how's Doak Campbell going to hold, cut down from 80, go to 15-20. It's okay. You let the certain amount, but you also do a lottery. Whoever gets picked, you legally sign a waiver giving away your rights to sue the university or Neyland Stadium if you come down with it 5-6 days later.
Yeah. I mean, in the past, you know, whenever there's like a guy that falls off the upper deck or something and hurts himself, they always point to on the fine print of your ticket.
Right.
Back
yeah.
there it says UT, wherever the venue is not liable for any accidents that may befall you. And I just wonder if they.
That's what's at concerts, too.
They can basically.
Always put them on concert tickets as well.
To me, that's like if you go and if you go into these big public settings and. I mean, who among us doesn't know the risk of COVID-19 at this point? I feel like it's pretty much common knowledge, should be. If you go to a stadium voluntarily, you walk in there, nobody's like pointing a gun to your head telling you to go to UT game. Like, you know, it's, you do so at your own risk. I mean, I feel like that is a safe, I feel like that's a fair assumption.
Jeff Harrison on Twitter says, will call an ID and temperature before entering the gate. See, I can see that happening. You got to pick your tickets up at will call, check your ID, make sure it's legally you, and you get scanned. Well, it's going to be pretty damn hard to scan people when it's in September and it's already 98 degrees outside.
Yeah, but if it's a significantly less number of fans that are accustomed to going
yeah.
to a game, then it's going to be a lot easier. You know, you're not going to have the lines hopefully backing up if you have as many people working the gates as you normally do, which they might not do either.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely.
And less volume. It's a delicate situation for a guy like Coach Fulmer or the people that work in development there. And I was reading a thing Andy Staples wrote over at The Athletic today about, and all these ADs and people are talking to him anonymously. Because they don't want to cause a panic amongst their fan bases. But one of the things they've talked about is having some sort of photo ID.
Like, give them a photo ID?
Yeah, like a photo ID for your ticket so that they can see who.
Like, we have to wear those badges around our necks when we go around the stadium. It has our picture on it. That's what you're.
I don't know exactly, but a way to prevent people. Because here's the thing, Bear, that would really irritate people. You give the tickets, the limited number of tickets to, you know, the wealthiest fans, they turn around and sell them at a huge markup. That's going to cause some hurt feeling.
They can't let that go on. That has to be understood that there'll be no, if you see him on, if in Tennessee, I mean, if you're talking about a limited number of tickets, and you see those things pop up on the secondary market, you just void them, and they lose their money they paid for them. You have to be, if you're going to truly, if you're just going to give it to the 3,000, you know, that's not fair. And it's a very unique situation, and, you know, for somebody to just profiteer off the fact that there's a limited amount of tickets that are going to be allowed to be sold, then I think you should forfeit the right to have them. I mean, you get ruthless with it. You know, if it's season ticket holders, you could, you know, if they get caught doing that, you're going to lose your season tickets.
Where are you making the money, though, from? You're making the money from the donations. I don't really think you're making any money, a lot of money off ticket sales, per se. And that's where it's going to get tricky. Who are you going to turn away? Like, take, for instance, you know, we were talking about this. I got a family member. It's got 5 tickets to the games. He thinks it could be cut down to 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to make decisions on how they want to spread people out in the sections. Like, who are you cutting out on the back end?
Well, that's not a good problem. That's an interesting problem that they're going to have to figure out as well is the donors they have, all the tickets are going to be concentrated in the good area. The 50-yard line, right?
Right.
And if they're saying, well, you have to have X number of feet in between you and only so many people, well, then people are going to have to move. They're going to have to move those seats, and there's going to be a lot of people saying, wait a minute, I've sat 20 rows up at the 45-yard line for 30 years. You know, I ain't moving.
Right.
And, like, I feel it for those people. Like, that's going to stink, but somebody's going to have to move.
You think it's bad for football. Think about what it'd be like for basketball.
Or you can just go with the old enter at your own risk thing. It's like, look, you know, we're not going to sell out the stadium, but come in here. Like maybe you're going to be in close proximity with other people. You just are. Like there's nothing we can do about it. It's like these cops I saw at the beach, and they're like, yeah, you know, people are behaving themselves for the most part, but we can't enforce social distance.
I know
like, we just
what story
can't.
You watch. You watch the topless Jeep party
yeah.
that they have down in Texas.
The thing is, though, guys, is that it won't just be up to Tennessee. It'll be up, you know, the university. You know, they'll have to follow health department. If the health department tells you can't put that many people in there, you know, if they hard cap it, you're not going to. It doesn't matter if people are willing to do it or not. Not if it would create a public health hazard to the greater community.
Mm. Well, kind of along those lines, some interesting news coming out of Tuscaloosa. What does Bear call it? Titletown,
I think.
Bama Bear. Loves him some Tuscaloosa.
Turdtown.
We will talk more about that coming up next. Open up the phone lines here as well. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on the drive this afternoon, 546-8200. If you want to join, we open the phone lines to you. Back with more of The Drive coming up here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Ready continues. Russell Baird, Trey, back with you here on The Drive. Coming to you live this afternoon from Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville, where the sun is shining and the deals are hot this afternoon. You want to come out and ask about these new Mitsubishi's $4,500 rebates on the Mitsubishi Mirage, a new car with a 100,000-mile warranty for as low as $11,000, $179 a month. It's fantastic. It's unbelievable, and it's right here at Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. 865-546-8200, 546-8200 is your number if you want to get on the show this afternoon. And already getting some feedback from the Twitter sphere. Brandon says, you got to produce a photo ID to attend an SEC football game, but not to vote. That would be an amazing experience to watch that meltdown. Well, I would argue that for many of the people that will be attending those games, that the going to a football game more important than voting for some of those people. More consequential anyway. Yeah.
Get ready, folks. It's going to be a lot different. You just got to adjust. If you're going to go to a game, you got to adjust to the times.
Well, there is no doubt in my mind that if anything goes wrong and prevents us from seeing college football, it's going to happen from one of two places, either Florida or Alabama. And according to Jeff Goodman of AL.com, there's been an outbreak of the coronavirus at Bryant-Denny Stadium that has endangered the safety of the construction crew and subcontractors working on Alabama's renovation project. More than 10 people have tested positive, according to people familiar with the outbreak, but the number could be much, much higher. With so many exposures and a lack of transparency about the outbreak, there is fear that more positive cases linked to the job site are inevitable. Trey, what are they doing? It's a $107 million renovation project. I feel like they're just constantly renovating Bryant-Denny Stadium.
They changed. So they moved the press box. They put the suites in there, where the old press box was. They are adding a new Tron. And then, you ever seen Alabama walk into the stadium? You ever seen that walk the dude, Denny Chimes, and get out of the bus?
No, because we're not Alabama fans, Trey.
Oh, God. You've had to see it on a pregame or something
no,
like that.
I
whatever.
Don't. The only time I watch Alabama is, you know, okay.
So yeah. What they've done is they completely tore down where they walk, where they would – usually they walk up some stairs, go down, go in. Now there's just an underground tunnel they'll walk straight into to get into the locker room. So it's like the Vol walk. If the Vol walk just had an underground tunnel straight to the locker room.
Well, that's kind of what they do, right? Once they get in Neyland Stadium, they walk
down.
Well,
they go through Gate 21. They go down through, yeah. But this one.
It's like El Chapo's tunnel or something. They're like actually, you know, like tunneling through the ground.
It's underneath the stadium. I don't know how the best way to. I'll just show
it's
you.
It's a tunnel.
But they're redoing the whole south end zone.
All right, let's get back to
whatever.
People are sick. The viral outbreak amongst construction workers at Bryant-Denny Stadium. They're worried about now with all these guys getting sick on the construction site and they have to stay away and quarantine, that they won't be able to get the construction project to complete before the season.
God, that would suck.
They play at Legion Field. Is that dump still there?
They could probably still play in the stadium. It just wouldn't be finished. And the people that they've sold these new suites to wouldn't be able to go and enjoy Alabama football in their plush new suites with all the stuff.
My heart's breaking for them. Man, I feel for the construction workers who have the disease. Hope they get well soon. That's awful.
You recovered from that one nicely.
But as far as the general fan population down there, I care less.
Yeah, but they think it's more than 10. I mean, realistically, it's probably, you get hundreds of people on that job site.
I saw an interview with Nick Saban where he was talking about the Jordan documentary, and I guess he's already back on campus. Where, like, nobody's keeping Nick Saban out of his office, evidently. But he's got a very stylish Alabama mask that he's wearing in the interview.
Does it have an oatmeal pie container where you can just stuff an oatmeal pie in his mouth?
He was wearing it down his neck, kind of like you. Trey, by the way, very stylish and I can only describe as like a construction worker neon.
It's a gator.
Mask.
It's a gator.
That he's got kind of the bandit style thing wrapped around there.
It's my first time out in Knoxville civilization. Yeah, I'm going to wear a mask.
You feel a little edgy?
Yeah.
A little worried?
It's a little
nervous?
Yeah, it's a little
It goes away after a while.
Well, I'm only going to be here for a little bit, so I'll get back into isolation. It's positive.
Yeah, Alabama is trying to
think about all those fans. Get these pissed off there. They don't get to go to games.
Oh yeah,
like they don't have the NFL. They got nothing else to do in that state besides go to Auburn or Alabama games.
Yeah, they, as you know, they build a significant portion of their life around it. I mean, is there a lot of people going to be upset?
Yeah.
Can't go to those games. Curtis on Twitter says, even if you only let 30 to 40,000 in Neyland, they are still having to cram into a 5-foot wide hallway to get to the bathroom troughs. I thought they got rid of the troughs in Neyland.
But they got more bathrooms. So what's, you look, less people use all the bathrooms. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I went to the game I went to last year. Now, granted, I'm on the west side and the north side have much wider concourses than the east side and the south side.
Oh, like when you're walking through the south end zone, that type area, east side, it feels like you're in that scene out of Willy Wonka where the elevator keeps getting smaller.
And you know,
the hallway.
That the they're going to have to
smaller. Yeah, the hallway gets smaller.
They're going to have to work through those issues, obviously. I mean, that's I don't know what you do.
The
hallway's like three times as wide on one side of the stadium as it is the other.
I'm telling you, it's going to be cut off. You're going to cut that section out.
You just have like hall monitors, like in elementary school. Like, excuse me, sir, you're just going to have to wait
5 feet apart.
Have to wait 5 feet apart. Yeah,
sir, go to detention. Get away.
I can only imagine how many YouTube meltdowns that would lead to.
I'm so ready for the videos.
Yeah.
There's so many crazy Karens in this world. I'm sure there's going to be a couple in Tennessee games.
I'm here for it.
Take Bear with me to a game.
Nah.
Let's go to the phones. D.R. Vall is up first today on the drive, 865-546-8200. If you want to hop in line here, D.R. Vall, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. You know, y'all just had a good point. I mean, I wonder what they're going to do, you know, at halftime concession stands. I mean, it's just a cluster to even move or breathe. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do about that. Unless they do, like, I don't know how they would staffing, but, you know, if it's limited capacity, would they have a thing where you order and they bring it to you?
Yeah, probably. Limited staffing. I mean, they could do something like that, or there's only going to be a certain amount of people at the concession stand one time. I don't know. That's going to be weird.
Yeah, and Trey, you had a good point, and I was going to ask you on top of that, talking about people not being able to go to away games. Is that something they've discussed? Because honestly, I was wanting to go to Norman, but, I mean, that probably is what's going to happen. Is that something you've heard?
Yeah, I mean, that's something they've been kicking around over there. You can't have 15,000 Tennessee fans coming in. You can't have – because I know Tennessee fans will travel to Norman. Like, Florida fans, they barely sold their allotment the last time they came up here. It's probably like 6,000 Florida fans, probably 8,000 Bama fans, 9,000, depends on how they're doing. You can't allow those people to come from – nothing against them. You just can't allow them to come to a stadium.
Well, they're going to have to tell – a lot of people go to these games without tickets.
Right.
Knowing that they're going to buy them on the outside, and they're going to – I don't know how you discourage that, but if scalping opportunities are limited, then maybe that message will get out, and those folks will stay home. I think there are going to be a lot of people who stay home anyway, first of all. Like, there are a lot of – older folks who like to go to these games and tailgate and stuff. And that's another thing that they're going to have to address is tailgating and parking garages and stuff like that. But I think there are going to be a lot of people who are like, you know what, we're going to wait and see here and maybe just sit out this season until they come up with until some more data comes out that shows that it's okay.
I think the Charlotte game is going to be a lesson, and then you move forward from there.
Honestly, I make it more a pleasant experience because nothing pisses me off worse than going to SEC game, listening to opposing fans run their mouth, and we're getting, you know, kind of like Pruitt's first year went to the Florida game, and I could have just jumped off kneeling listening to them run their mouth.
I'm telling you, I think that it is an advantage for Tennessee because we all saw the video of Pruitt basically joystick coaching Baylen Buchanan against Auburn back in 2018, hey, the play's coming to you, Baylen. Like, when they're on the road and Ansley and Pruitt can basically tell their team, hey, this is what's going to happen right before the snap. If we can do that at home now as well, then
– keep all the fans out.
Yeah, so much the better. I mean, and I guess you have to weigh it. Like, what's better, having a rabid home crowd that can affect the opposing team's offense when they're on the field, or your – uber smart defensive coordinator and head coach being able to basically tell their team exactly what the play is about that's about to happen. I think probably the latter.
I mean, it's going to be a lot different this year, just simply because of that. I think the games will probably be different, you know, unless they just are pumping in a massive amount of crowd noise onto the field as well as into the broadcast, you know. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's going to look, you know, the game's going to be probably a lot different than what we're used to seeing. Very unique set of problems.
What was y'all talking about having a photo ID? That's if the tickets are only will call to get in.
We were talking about if they had to know who was coming to the game, just because of contract tracing and all that, contact tracing and all that good stuff. And, you know, if you came down with it or something like that at the game, I'm just saying they probably have to know who's sitting in the seats.
Well, I mean, D'Arval, you just kind of hit on it there. I mean, that's how they could do it. And it would be logistically, it wouldn't be logistically feasible on any kind of normal situation, but let's say you got 3,000 tickets. You could set up a bunch of different will call stations, and that would eliminate, you know, then if they wanted to scalp them, they'd have to do it right there on the street, and that's pretty easily enforced. So you just have to go to will call. Anytime you go to will call for any kind of concert or game, you have to show an ID to get your tickets.
Just reading from this Athletic article from Manny Staples, he says this anonymous AD that he spoke to said they would consider tying tickets to a photo ID, which already happens at many student sections across the country for admission. no matter what they decide about requiring IDs, all the people interviewed for this story agreed that schools that haven't already switched to digital tickets are going to have to do that anyway to eliminate one more point of contact. So that is something they're considering, D.R. Ball.
But, and you know, you kind of hit on it too, Russ, about buying the ticket. Like, I know, like, our summer league ball, they're going to try to start up in 2 weeks, and everybody's got to sign a waiver form. You know, basically, you're not going to sue if you get COVID. So I guess that would kind of be your contract. Kind of like, you know, when you go to a ballpark, if you get hit by a foul ball, you, on the back of your ticket, it says you can't sue them. They're not liable. So do you think it would just go with buying the ticket, or they're going to actually sit there and make 20,000 people sign something?
Well, I don't know. I'm no legal expert here, but I know that in the past, like have you ever flipped over the ticket? I know a lot of events don't have paper tickets anymore, but it's on there with whatever digital delivery you get as well. You look at the back of the ticket or something. There's a lot of stuff in the fine print there about the so and so not being responsible, all this, that, and the other.
Oh yeah, I went to a Braves game 10 years ago, and that's what it said on the back because we were on the first baseline and said you couldn't sue them if we got drilled and killed in the head. But guys, I'm getting pulled over by a cop to be on the phone. I'll see you. Go Vols.
Wow.
Oh no.
The second time that's happened.
Was it DR Vol? Last year during what you talking about?
Was it DR Vol?
It was during the Champions League.
It was somebody who had done really well. It might have been, man. Did what are the chances that twice guy get pulled over by a cop while he's calling into the show?
You ever freaked out like that before?
Yeah, we're
see a cop coming by and you're on your phone, you just throw your phone down or toss it out of your hand real quick?
No,
because I don't talk on the phone when I'm driving unless I got a headset in or go hands-free.
Yeah, I always have it on like speakerphone and kind of just keep it down on the sly. I try not to do it at all, but I've gotten a lot better about that stuff since that law went through, the hands-free law last year.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot better.
One thing I do is change music. That's it. Got some breaking news out of the NCAA. Big time stuff.
Hold that thought. We'll come right back. Trey's got some traking news for you on the other side as we're live this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Stay tuned. Back with more right after this.
The Drop.
Here on Fan Run Radio, we got your Rick Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question coming up here in just a little bit. Top four on the way as well. First, though, Trey, some news from the NCAA today is saying go ahead and open things up for voluntary workouts for football, basketball, and baseball.
Pete Tamble's reporting the NCAA Division I Council has voted to approve voluntary athletic activities in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball to start June 1st and go through June 30th. There had been a moratorium on that through May 31st. Other sports will be acted on later date.
So it's just football and basketball, but I guess those are the quote-unquote revenue sports, as they say.
Oh, there's no other sports going on, I don't know.
Yeah, and
that would be practicing, technically.
Well, I mean, basketball, not really sense of urgency there, but they're going to let those
guys. I'm glad they're letting Jaden Springer camp. So I have to get on campus to work.
I'm not complaining. What is interesting, though, to me is Coach Fulmer is going to have to get on it because there's no way that Jeremy Pruitt is going to let the rest of the college football universe get a 2-week head start on Tennessee players
working out on
campus.
What do you mean they're practicing at Georgia and we're not? Get my damn players back to this school right now.
Yeah, so you have to. You have to. I mean, what is it? The 20th? You got 11 days. 11 days to come up with a plan for guys to get back on campus and start working out.
You're starting offensive linemen.
Don't you think they've already got their plan?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Coach Fulmer was
twiddling their thumbs, Russ.
I don't think so either. But Coach Fulmer, according to multiple reports, was one of at least three athletics directors who last week was advocating for a mid-June start instead of June 1st.
Well, that doesn't mean that he's not, you know, that they don't have contingency plans for different scenarios. I imagine that's surely to God they've been working on that.
Well, if they haven't, they will be now. So that'll be June 1st, the date they are allowed to have players come back on.
A week from Monday.
I mean, you think guys are going to be in shape when they show up?
It better be.
70%?
If they're not, they're going to be wishing they had been.
They better hope to take
it. Oh, yeah. Shape. I mean, look what happened with Peterman. I mean, after all that trouble, the Pruitt and Fulmer and all the folks at the university went through to get that kid through the clearinghouse and get him here, and then he showed up, you know, out of shape and not ready to go and didn't hold up. I mean, that was a slap in the face. I don't know. I think he's been here. He's got his program in. He's got, you know, a good mix of veteran team leadership now. They're doing things his way. And I would be surprised if these guys don't come in. I don't think they're going to roll in there completely out of shape.
Nash on Twitter says, here's how you do 30% at Neyland to make it fair. 30% capacity in the skyboxes, 30% in the terrace, 30% in general pop. General pop, what is this, the prison yard or something?
God, what solitary look like?
Lottery style drawing for each game, season ticket holders only. I'll tell you right now, those boxes are going to be full.
Yeah.
I was telling you.
Yeah. I mean, that's where the rich rules. People are at.
Different rules for different folks. And I mean, they've had booze up there all this time. They're not going to let those boxes that go for what? $20,000 a year, whatever it costs for a.
$20,000 a year.
For a skybox. They're not going to let those just sit empty.
Sorry, Mr. Thunder Thornton. You can only have two people up here in your skybox. Yeah, okay.
I'd be surprised if those things aren't six figures a year.
It depends on where it is.
I mean, is there a bad one? I mean, they stretch from what, like the 20 to the 20?
Well, you would rather be at midfield.
See, I'd rather have seats than I would in a skybox.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. I've been out of the skybox. Well, skybox is okay. Like, everybody should. I don't mean to be out of touch elitist here, but you know, everybody should experience that once, but I much prefer to be. The best place, I think, is down close to the action. Like, not so high up that you can't see what happens on the other side of the field.
40
but,
rows up.
Yeah, where you can see. All right, even close, maybe 20, 15, 10. Like, you get in that range where you can really hear the pads popping and stuff. That's fun.
Okay, I agree with you on that one. Still think clubs are the best seats in Tennessee at Neyland.
Nah.
You can go in.
Row 50 and row 50, section R, section D. It's like right around the 50. Those are the best seats in the whole place. Because the Moondog sound is perfect.
All they have to do is post signs in the stadium saying they're not liable. Can you? Is that the legal standard?
We put a sign up. We're not liable.
Up. Yeah.
That would fall under what I was saying is that, you know, that's well and fine. They could put that sign up. But, again, if the Knox County Health Department determines it to be a, you know, like a public health issue, they can step in. The health department wields an incredible amount of power.
Do they, is that under their jurisdiction or is that considered the city?
The county. The county health department supersedes the city.
Maybe we'll ask Glenn Jacobs tomorrow.
Yeah. And Mayor Jacobs on tomorrow, so we can, this is the kind of question we can pose to him when he joins us.
He's a football guy.
Glad he could squeeze us in. I wonder if Mayor Jacobs. I mean, he's so in tune with the economy and the needs there. He's probably calling Coach Fulmer on a daily basis. Hey, Coach, we have games this year. We're going to play, right? Just make sure everything's okay.
Some revenue for the county.
You guys got a plan?
He's a football guy.
Well, if they have the signs up, you know, they're going to have – it's going to be going around to the Jumbotron. Like, everybody stand and raise your right hand. I will not sue if I get the coronavirus. I'm only half kidding. They'll be making announcements over the PA probably.
They're going to make us sign a waiver. I bet you the dollar they let the make the fans sign a waiver.
Swear everybody in before we watch this football game.
You know what's going to stink is if they have to spread out the pride of the Southland. Spread out over four sections.
Surely, you can cut the band down, right?
You can't bring the spirit band to the football game.
You don't have to have. I mean,
you don't have to have 100, all 150 of them.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like having the guys up there in like the orange and white striped Waldo shirts, but you know, you still have the band out there, but just like parried down a little bit because if there's less people. Now, here's the other thing, and we're getting into some nerdy area here.
Could
but
happen.
We've all been, you've been in the stadium when it empties out and the band, like, have a blowout and the band fires up afterwards and it's like echoing all over off
right.
the empty.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get your acoustics right in there.
We have a lot of piped in Rocky Top this year.
You might. They might just decide, look, we want customers. We want paying customers in here.
Screw band. These kids we get $500 scholarships to.
Well, band, cheerleaders. Or maybe the band comes in and marches, and then they file out and they leave.
No,
do the pregame
pissed.
Thing, and they
nope.
march right out and leave.
Nope, if I got to march during the pregame, I better be able to watch the game.
That would suck.
I'd be pretty agitated. I'm
playing the trumpet.
Yeah.
You march in there for the Florida game.
Yeah.
Ready to roll. You know, play the anthem in.
Right.
Get out.
Yeah, you can leave now. No, just get out the field. Don't worry about forming the tee. Just get off the field.
Well, it
seems like they could spread those kids out between, like, C and E. You can spread them out.
It's going to be unique. You might not have the band. You might not have it.
Put them in the upper deck like Texas does to visiting fans. Put the bands in the upper deck.
I'll tell you what was weird was watching some of that German soccer league Saturday morning. And they're playing with nobody in there. And every time the ball's kicked, it's echoing off this, you know, huge stadium.
Subs, you know, chairs are so spread out.
Well, I wasn't very into the whole, like, let's pump in some crowd noise thing. But after watching that, you know, maybe a little something to dull the echoiness of it.
You're going to try to do all
that. I mean, how loud's it going to sound when you've got a middle linebacker hitting a running back full speed? Do you think that ball getting kicked sounded loud?
Mm-hmm.
And you start getting those helmets cracking, pads cracking. So, I mean, the TV audience are obviously going to have to do some serious mojo on it to make it, you know, PG-14.
Well, I'm sure all these network folks, ESPN people, are watching what's going on in Germany, Italy, England, you know, where they're getting things going again and saying, all right, how does that sound and how can we improve upon that for American football when it starts up fall? Let's take a quick break. Coming out, we'll get your top four at four live this afternoon. Old Ben Franklin Motors, where we are, 9711 Kingston Pike, savings galore. We'll talk more about it when we continue right here on Fan Run Radio.